Well, good afternoon, everybody, and thank you so much for being here. It is my great privilege to welcome you to the annual Hagenschmidt Clean Air Awards, where we recognize leaders in air pollution research, technology, and policy. The Hagenschmidt Clean Air Awards are made in honor of the late Professor Ari J. Hagenschmidt and his important contributions to air pollution science, as well as to the significance of his career as the founding chair of the Air Resources Board. We're going to take a few minutes to highlight the history of the award program, as well as the accomplishments of our 2013 award recipients. So we'll start with Dr. Hagenschmidt. Ari Hagenschmidt was a native of the Netherlands and a biochemistry professor at the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena for 16 years before he began his air pollution research in 1948. It was his research that found that most of California's smog, which at that point was just being noticed, resulted from photochemistry, when exhaust from motor vehicles and industrial facilities reacts with sunlight to create ozone. And as we talked about this morning, actually, in the presentation on health, it was ozone that was the first pollutant that people in Southern California began to get serious about trying to do something about. His breakthrough provided the scientific foundation for the development of California's and later the nation's air pollution control programs. Leaving his plant studies behind, he continued working in the field of air pollution research and control, taking the smog problem in Los Angeles head on, and he agreed to become the Air Resources Board's first chairman in 1968. In 1973, in recognition of his contributions, Dr. Hagenschmidt received the National Medal of Science, this country's highest scientific honor. He passed away 36 years ago, but his legacy lives on. And I would want to say, by the way, that I had the opportunity to meet him and to be a participant in naming the Air Resources Board's El Monte Laboratory after him. I think the word I would use to describe him, probably the single word I would use to describe him, was tough. He was tough. And you need to be that to do this work, as we saw today. Since 2001, the Air Resources Board has sponsored an award named after Dr. Hagenschmidt. Over the last 12 years, 34 individuals have received this award. And in light of the global connection between air quality and climate change, we've expanded the scope of this recognition to include a more international focus and a focus on climate change, science, and mitigation as well. So it is my great pleasure to announce that the three recipients of the 2013 Hagenschmidt Clean Air Award are Dr. Barbara Finlayson-Pitts for her work in the area of air pollution research, Dr. James Lentz for his work in the area of environmental policy, and Dr. Teruyuki Ono for his work in the area of international policy. Each of these winners is going to be introduced by a board member, and after their introduction, we're going to take a minute to have a photo op, and then we're going to ask the winners to say a few words. So I'll begin with board member Dr. John Balmes, who will introduce our first award recipient.
Thank you, Mary. It's a real honor to be here today and present the award to Dr. Barbara Finlayson-Pitts. Dr. Finlayson-Pitts is a distinguished professor at the University of California, Irvine, and I can say she's one of the most important contemporary atmospheric chemists and really a worldwide expert in atmospheric photochemistry. Dr. Finlayson-Pitts has a 40-year academic career and is best known to the scientific community for co-authoring two widely acclaimed and influential books on atmospheric chemistry, which have been used to educate and inform countless students, scientists, and policymakers, including me. When I first got into air pollution health research, I used her book, Chemistry of Upper and Lower Atmosphere. and it's really the standard textbook in this area. Her research has been driven by air pollution issues. The primary focus of her work is on understanding chemical reactions that can occur in the atmosphere, and in particular, those between gases and particles, such as sea salt and thin water films on surfaces. This work combines a variety of approaches and has resulted in several important and unexpected findings. Throughout her career, in more than 170 papers and book chapters, she has discussed implications of her work on air pollution regulations. Dr. Finlayson-Pitts is an inspiring leader. In addition to her own research group, she formed and serves as director of the Atmospheric Integrated Research at the University of California, Irvine, or the AIR-UCI Institute, the mission of which, and I quote, is to address urgent challenges we face in air and water quality, human health, climate change, and green technology through the integration of research, education, and outreach. More recently, her group has contributed to our growing understanding of particulate air pollutants. In addition to its cutting-edge research activities, under Barbara's leadership, AIR-UCI conducts outreach activities, including classroom presentations and laboratory tours. An annual teacher training program funded by the National Science Foundation has been cited as a shining example of the importance of public school chemistry teachers engaging in and supporting the chemical workforce now and in the future. 2006 proved to be an academically distinguished year for Dr. Finlayson-Pitts. She was elected to the American Academy of Arts and Sciences, the National Academy of Sciences, and named a University of California, Irvine Distinguished Professor for her work in advancing atmospheric chemistry research and education. Wow. The AAAS and the National Academy of Sciences in the same year? Yeah. That's really good. Most recently, in December 2013, Dr. Finlayson-Pitts was admitted as a fellow of the Royal Society of Chemistry, a professional association in the United Kingdom, another distinguished award. She served on the California Resources Board's Research Screening Committee from 2003 to 2007. I had the pleasure of serving on the RSC at that time with Barbara, and her comments were always insightful and to the point. The Research Screening Committee consists of scientists, engineers, and others knowledgeable, technically qualified, and experienced in air pollution problems, review proposed and completed research projects for the board. Barbara's work and passion to improve California's air quality will be her longstanding legacy. I'm honored to present this award to Dr. Barbara Finlayson-Pitts.
Thank you very much, Mary and John. You know, when I got Mary's letter in the mail, I opened it up, and I was immediately reminded of Alan Alda, who was elected to the American Academy at the same time I was. And you have to write a formal acceptance back. And his acceptance back said, I received this letter telling me I was elected to the American Academy, and I was really surprised, and I know you've made a mistake, but before you figure that out, I'm accepting. And I have to say, I really felt largely the same way. I arrived from Canada in 1970 to do my PhD at UC Riverside. And at that point, you could not see the big sea on the hill outside, you know, maybe a mile away as the crow flies. And it really brought home to me the truth of Bob Hope's statement that he didn't trust air he couldn't chew. You know, I had never seen anything like that. And I have to say, it really provided an incentive for me to say, I'm getting my PhD as fast as possible, and I'm getting out of here. Now, you know, I have to say, fortunately, that didn't happen, because in the 70s, I was really fortunate to meet people like Ari Hagenschmidt, John Holmes, Mary, and, you know, all the wonderful ARB staff that really have set standards, not only nationally but internationally, for air pollution control and regulations, and now climate change, based on science. And that's what's really been gratifying to me, to see the use of science governments to really develop cost-effective and the best control strategies. I served on a National Academy panel about 1990, and the whole question was, why isn't our air quality improving, you know, with respect to ozone, for example, when we've done all these controls? And I'm sitting there scratching my head thinking, just a minute, you know, it has improved dramatically in California, and I realized it's California, and the rest of the country hadn't followed at that point. So to me, it was a real eye-opener about the importance of science and what the ARB has done. So I really feel lucky to have been able to play a small role in this whole thing. Of course, I haven't done it alone. Nobody works in a vacuum. I've had the world's best mentor, where the pits comes from, on a 24/7 basis, and many other wonderful mentors along the way, like Alan Lloyd here, who was in the lab at the same time I was, and I've had just a wonderful group of students and postdocs. I call them the A team, and they work incredibly hard, and they are so committed because they understand what they're doing is really important. So their enthusiasm and their creativity and their dedication. Is something that I'm really touched by and helps keep me going as well. So I'm really touched to be included in this very prestigious group of past winners. When I thought about, you know, all the past winners, I thought, well, you know, George Burns, when he accepted an award, said, you know, I really feel as though I don't deserve this award. But I don't deserve my arthritis either. So with that, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
I get to be the MC here today. So my next responsibility here is to introduce board member Judy Mitchell, who is going to make the next award. And Judy represents the South Coast Air Quality Management District on our board.
Thank you, Chair Nichols. Good afternoon. I'm pleased to be able to present the next award to Dr. James Lentz. Dr. Lentz has been a leader in environmental policy for over 40 years. Dr. Lentz received his master's and doctorate degrees in physics from the University of Tennessee, and in the 1970s, he began his career in air pollution control in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where he helped the city improve air quality, bringing down the highest concentrations of particulate pollution in the nation to meet air quality standards in just 5 years. The work resulted in an EPA film, so also probably an Oscar nomination award, called What One City Did, and a Newsweek article titled The Most Polluted City in the U.S. Shows the Way to Clean Up. He then moved to Colorado in the 1980s, where he developed a comprehensive attainment plan for the state, and he established the Western States Air Pollution Coordination Group with the Western Governors Association. He also established the first high-altitude automobile and truck testing facilities, leading groundbreaking work that helped result in today's cleaner-burning gasoline. He then came to California's South Coast Air Quality Management District and focused on the challenge of meeting air quality standards in the South Coast region. As executive director for the South Coast Air Quality Management District, during the 1980s and the 90s, he successfully reorganized the agency into teams and led the agency to produce the first regional plan that demonstrated the steps needed to attain air quality standards. This was the first attainment plan approved for the region by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Recently, he received an Outstanding Individual Achievement Award from the U.S. EPA, and we are proud to add the Hagen-Schmidt Clean Air Award to his list of honors this year. Throughout his career, Dr. Lentz has consistently proven to be innovative. He's demonstrated perseverance, advocated for international and national cooperation in air quality and sustainability, and shown leadership in the fight for clean air worldwide. He's also proven to be a key strategist in the global expansion of sustainable environmental practices. I am honored to present this award to Dr. James Lentz.
You never know quite know what to say at times like this. I really appreciate the award from CARB and so many of my colleagues I see here that we fought the wars. I actually thought after listening to this hearing this morning that you should have called me up and punished me. So if I'd got my job done, we wouldn't have had this morning. And yes, that's sort of, but I think it's worth remembering. I started my career with the adoption of the 1970 Clean Air Act amendments. We had 5 years to reach clean air. And in general, we didn't do it. We went back and begged for 13 more years. I did, along with a lot of my colleagues. We got 13 more years to solve the problem, and we didn't do it. We then went to Congress and begged for 23 more years to solve the problem, and they gave us that, and we didn't do it. In all fairness, the finish line has changed a little bit in a few cases, but in much of the way, while we've made a huge amount of progress down through the years, there's still a long ways to go. So as painful as it may seem sometimes, and I was happy that I've been advising people in different countries over the last few years, not having to sit in the regulatory seat to make the tough decisions, and that's much more pleasant. But there's a lot of work still to be done. The health of the public is still suffering here, worse than much of the rest of the world where I've had a chance to work, and we need to keep moving forward. And I'm proud to receive the award, but even prouder to be associated with groups that are keeping the ball moving forward.
Congratulations and thanks. I can't resist adding on to that story just by saying that it's the experience that we've shared and many others in this room shared of having kept moving forward towards a very tough goal and continuing to make progress even as the goal got tougher and sometimes the distance seemed greater, that I think is particularly relevant now as we're looking at the problem of global climate change, because as EPA is looking at setting new standards for existing power plants and as the rest of the world is struggling with what they're going to be able to do, the idea that you don't have to have a regulation that gets you there right away if you are willing and can find the ways to keep the pressure on. So it's just enough so that it forces people to keep going when times are tough and they don't just throw up their hands and quit. You found kind of the right spot for tackling something that's that complicated. So I think your experience has a lot to offer to the world. I now will turn to our final awardee, and I am going to introduce to present that our board member, Professor Dan Sperling from UC Davis, representing our automotive engineering expert on the board.
Thank you very much, Mary. So I am pleased to present the award to Mr. Teruyuki Ono, who has flown here today to be present for this ceremony from Tokyo. So Mr. Ono has been an innovative policy leader for the past 35 years during his career at the Tokyo Metropolitan Government. He pioneered new policy approaches to a broad range of energy and air quality challenges, including diesel pollution, climate change, renewable energy, and sustainable urban planning, in pivotal roles over the past 15 years. He spearheaded multiple groundbreaking clean air strategies for Tokyo. He has degrees in both business and economics from Tokyo University and has been a lecturer on sustainability topics at his alma mater. In 2003, Mr. Ono was in charge of planning and implementing Operation No Dirty Diesel, Japan's first diesel retrofit program, with a small staff in Tokyo's Bureau of the Environment. So I know, you know, I couldn't help but thinking we also should have consulted Mr. Ono quite a few years ago. We might have learned some lessons that would have helped us. And that was to my fellow board members who have gone through the painful experience of today. It was a four-year project, and I can't help but say I was talking to him, and he's reported that actually it had lots of the challenges and problems. But now that they started it so long ago, it's basically all finished because there's all new vehicles with new emissions, and they don't have to worry about these retrofits. So maybe we should have started it earlier. So this project set aggressive emission standards to reduce particulate emissions from the in-use diesel vehicles. And it led to major changes in national emission control policies and dramatic improvements in local air quality. Following that success, he headed the Urban and Global Environment Division in Tokyo's Bureau of the Environment, and in 2008 established the Tokyo Cap and Trade Program, Japan's first carbon trading program. That system, which was modeled in part on California's AB 32 legislation, took effect in 2010. Mr. Ono then became Director General of the Bureau of Environment and was responsible for climate change, energy, waste management, pollution control, the natural environment, and sustainable development for Tokyo's 13 million citizens. That's quite a challenge. He helped establish a new energy policy balancing energy security and climate change for Tokyo in the wake of the Fukushima nuclear disaster. Mr. Ono continues to work on energy security in his current role as executive director for the Japan Renewable Energy Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization that brings together experts from around the nation and abroad to create policy recommendations aimed at promoting alternative energy sources such as solar, wind, and geothermal. Throughout his career, Mr. Ono devoted himself to being a leader in local policy making. He introduced new and innovative policies through a transparent and inclusive stakeholder engagement process. He engaged actively with other local governments and successfully obtained consensus on joint regulations. Mr. Ono is an expert in Japan's local government policy planning and implementation in the fields of environment and sustainable development. He has authored four books, including Low Carbon Cities, The Future of Urban Planning, and Energy Strategies of Subnational Governments. We're proud to present Mr. Ono with one of this year's Hagen-Schmidt Clean Air Awards. And we thank Mr. Ono for his service to his community and all those who value the benefits of clean air. I am honored to present this award to Mr. Teruyuki Ono.
Thank you very much. Thank you selecting me for this great award. Actually, this is the first award I received since I graduated from elementary school 50 years ago. So I don't get used to this occasion. Please allow me to read my prepared speech. This award recognizes the Tokyo Metropolitan Government diesel vehicle control and its cap and trade policy. But I couldn't have achieved this result alone. It is thanks to the tireless effort of the staff of the Bureau of Environment that we were able to overcome various hurdles and implement these new programs in Japan. I stand alone here today, but I share the pleasure of receiving this award with my many colleagues in Tokyo. I am especially pleased to receive this honor because it is awarded by the state of California. California's environmental policy have long provided a model for the policies of Tokyo. There is a famous incident that occurred in 1970 during the early stages of Tokyo's effort to combat air pollution. In July of that year, many female students at the junior high school suddenly complained of eye pain and headaches during a PE class. More than 40 students were taken to the hospital. The first report of this event described it as a mysterious incident with an unknown cause. However, the city's Pollution Research Institute resolved this mystery soon after, when it announced that the incident was the first instance of harm caused by photochemical smog in Japan. The research institute had been established just 2 years before the incident. In fact, the researchers of the institute started measuring photochemical oxidant concentrations soon after its foundation, because they believed that given the rapid increase in the number of automobiles, photochemical smog was likely to occur in Tokyo in the near future, as it had in Los Angeles. Without a doubt, the research of the Dr. Hagen Schmidt proved invaluable to Tokyo's environmental policy during its early stage. The cutting-edge policies of California have been important for me too. It was at the end of August 1999 that we launched the diesel control campaign. Soon after the launch, Michael Walsh heard about our effort and kindly visited Tokyo in October to provide us with advice about limiting diesel emissions. The following month, ARB Chairman Alan Lloyd, on a trip to Japan, visited us to offer his advice. Their advice provided great encouragement to the Tokyo government, which had begun to propose strict regulations for the first time in Japan. When we look back at the history of the environmental policy, what we see in common in Japan and the United States is that we cannot leave it to the national or federal government alone. State and local governments and environmental NGOs play an important role in speaking out and taking action when the national government does not do what it is supposed to do. 3 years ago, in March 2011, Japan experienced the nuclear accident in Fukushima. Although a large majority of citizens hope for a transition to an energy system that does not depend on nuclear power, at the beginning of this month, the Japanese government approved a new basic energy plan that defines nuclear power as one of the key baseload electricity sources, along with coal-fired power generation. Creating a safe, sustainable energy system free of the threat of nuclear accident and climate change have been my goals and will contribute so in the future. These are goals shared by many of the staff of the Tokyo Metropolitan Government and by my colleagues at Japan Renewable Energy Foundation, where I work today. And I believe these goals are also shared by those involved in environmental policy in California. Nothing will make me happier than if this award further enhances cooperation among those who are working towards the same goals in Tokyo and in California. Thank you very much.
Okay, that concludes our program. I want to thank the awardees for coming and being here in person and sharing their words with us. This is an inspiring set of people, an inspiring set of stories. And before we adjourn and go celebrate a little bit more informally, I would like to ask for one more round of applause for all the winners. And I guess we should have one picture with everybody in it also. Thank you.